Most people would say to you, if you were trying to introduce me to someone else, here's one of the descriptions I hear. He's easygoing. He's not easily riled. He's not easily flapped. He's unflappable. Let's see. Did you get that? That was a dad joke, I know. You're not supposed to laugh. You're just supposed to go, But most people would say, I'm pretty easygoing. And I always thought that. And so when I would talk to people, I'd say, I really don't worry. I don't lay awake at night thinking about things. I fall asleep pretty quick. And things just don't bother me very much. And then I was praying, and God said, yes, they do. I said, what do you mean? And he brought to mind the fact that there are times when things happen and something just weighs on my mind. It just keeps coming back. It just keeps coming back. It just keeps coming back. And that there are times when I always describe them as, well, I have some concerns that I need to take care of. And I realize anytime something preoccupies your mind, that takes your energy, that might make you, kind of churn when you're laying down or going to sleep, or anytime you are preoccupied with something. And I used to say, well, it's something on my to-do list that I need to take care of. But if it's on your to-do list and you take care of it, it's over. And God brought to my mind that there are some things that are on my to-do list that I try to take care of, but they're still there. And he showed me just recently that that's fear, that's anxiety, that's worry. You're just pretending like you don't have any. I said, no, I'm not. And I've discovered that arguments with God don't end well. And he has convinced me that yes. So as we talk about, we were talking in the middle, in this series, Goliath Must Fall, and this week it's the giant of fear or worry or anxiety, something, any in that category. I want to challenge you, if you think you don't worry about things, if you think you don't have fears, if you think that you would pull back and allow God to maybe reveal some things, because fear has a way of being covert, has a way of being secretive, has a way of blindsiding us and preventing us from really living with freedom, the victory that God wants us to have, and honoring God. So we're combining this with some of our study on the Sermon on the Mount. And so as we think about the Sermon on the Mount, we look at the Beatitudes, and we began to look at some of those items that Jesus talks about. And so the Beatitudes, and then Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he lays out the groundwork of everything that he's going to talk about, teach, and help people to understand over the next 3 years. And so in that, one of the items is worry or fear. And so what I've noticed is that when Jesus begins to talk about something in the Sermon on the Mount, he lays the groundwork, he puts it in the mind, in our minds, especially for those disciples who are following. And then as we read through the Gospels, we see him coming back to it over and over and over again to emphasize it. And so that's what we see here with the giant of fear in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and to 34. He says, he talks about not being afraid. So it's the giant of fear, and over we hear Jesus saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. As I was saying, I realized that's not the point. Because almost every time we hear do not be afraid or fear not or some form of that, it follows with something like, because I'm with you. Do not be afraid because I will care for you. Do not be anxious. I will provide for you. And so the point is not do not be afraid, because that doesn't help, does it? What helps is you don't have to be afraid because something's bigger. David, you don't need to be afraid about how big Goliath is. That was the point I was trying to make with the children. Because God is bigger. So let's look at Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34. It says, So here's the first verse is don't, he says. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Don't be anxious. Why? Your heavenly Father feeds them. And are not you of more value than they? So don't be anxious about these basic necessities of life. And everybody needs them, right? Food, clothing, shelter. Those are basic necessities. Don't worry. That's not the point. The point is, I'm there. And I will provide. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Anybody? You might subtract it. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single span to your life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Don't worry about your clothes, because God will provide. Therefore, here's another don't. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. He's saying the people who have no real God, the Gentiles who worship pagan idols made by hands, who don't have a real God, he says they worry about those things. Why? Because they don't have a God to provide for them. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But here's what to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The right side up kingdom. What God wants to do. How he wants you to live. Seek him and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Align yourself with him. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So Jesus gives them that, and then for the next 3 years, over and over and over again, we see that he can take care of them. The 12 disciples that are following with him, they watch as Jesus hears somebody that's sick, he heals them. Here's somebody who doesn't have any future in life, and he delivers her from the leaders of the Jewish faith that are about to kill her. He takes them on a mountainside where there's 5,000 men and women and children beside, and they have nothing to eat, and he says to them, feed them. And they say, we can't. And he goes, let me show you how God provides. Remember that thing that I told you in the Sermon on the Mount about the birds and, you know, the needing food? Here's an example. A few loaves, a few fish. Whew. Yesterday we were running. This has nothing to do with the sermon. We were running out of meatballs at the spaghetti dinner. There's just so many people. And so the people in the Rotary, who kind of become a second parish, really, because they asked me to pray for them and they talked to me, they said, why don't you do that Jesus thing with the fishes and the loaves? So write this down. It's not about fear not. It's about I'll be with you. It's not about fear not. So, because you can't tell somebody not to be afraid. You just can't. I mean, you can tell them. But you just, there has to be something else. And so don't be afraid. So Jesus is saying, it's not about don't be afraid. It's about I'm with you. I'll provide for you. I'm bigger than whatever you will ever face. Secondly, write this down. It's about relationship. It's not about prescription or contract. It's about relationship. It's not about this contract. So it's not Jesus saying, okay, you do these 6 good deeds and then I'll provide for you for the week. It's about this relationship where you're walking in alignment with him, believing. And so embedded in this whole scripture in Matthew chapter 6 is this idea that God loves you. God is the God of love who cares for you. He wants to provide for you. He's just waiting for you to ask. He's just waiting for you to come to him. And so it's about relationship. It's not about trying to earn it and not being good enough. It's about relationship. You see, I put a statement in there. Most of the Christian life is learning how to right-size God and allow him to turn life right side up. That's really what Jesus was about for 3 years. That's really what the Holy Spirit is about ever since. And then, thirdly, write this one down. You cannot kill your giants. You can't do it. You can't kill your giants. Whether it's fear or whether it's rejection or addiction or any of the other ones that we're going to be talking about. You can't do it. It requires Jesus. And so we've learned, as Louis Giglio has talked about in the DVDs, that it's not about trying harder. It's not about us being David in the story and just working harder or learning how to throw the stone better. It's not about us, but rather it's Jesus doing it through us. And so it's about surrender. It's not about trying harder. It's about surrender. It's not about trying harder. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Lord, in this minute, would you reveal to each person whatever you need to say to each of us about fear, the giant that we're facing? And then would you just listen to what God might want to say in this minute? Oh, how we want to hear your voice, Lord. Not my voice, but your voice. So teach us, show us how to live free of this giant of fear and bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's talk about some truths that if we live by these truths, will bring all the fear giants tumbling down. And just, let me just remind you, if you haven't surrendered and given those fears to God, you're still being controlled by them. You may not think you are, but you are. You know, Saul in the story. So David and Goliath, Saul was the king. He was the one that should have been out there. If you would have interviewed Saul on the 39th day of Goliath, taunting, and said, Saul, why are you being controlled by this giant? He would have said, I'm not being controlled. No, I'm just over here in my, on this side of the battlefield, and we're just strategizing, We're going to come up with a plan here pretty soon. We're not being controlled. We're just being deliberate. We're not being controlled at all. And yet he was, wasn't he? Because if I was interviewing, I said, then why are you living out here in a tent when you have a palace with servants back home for 40 days? Why don't you just take care of the giant on day one and go home and rule the kingdom and do what you're supposed to do? Why? Because he's being controlled. And some of you may be in that situation. I'm not being controlled by any fears. But if we don't do what we need to do, or if we do what we're not supposed to do, there's fear involved. So let's look at these truths. Some truths. Well, let's look at the scripture. Let me read through the scripture, and then we'll look at the truths. So Jesus gives a Sermon on the Mount. He tells them not to worry. And then he takes the disciples through different instances. And here's one of them when he shows that he's bigger than fear, bigger than anything that they'll ever face. So Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, he says, They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Here was a man out of control, filled with demonic powers, demonic evil spirits that had given him this incredible strength so that no one could control him. No matter how heavy the chains were or how thick the shackles, they couldn't contain him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before them. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying, Jesus was saying to him, "Come out of that man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." In other words, Legion, thousand, is a symbol, but we don't know how many, but there were lots. And he begged him earnestly to send them out of the country. Now, a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. There's a lot of elements of the story we could go into in depth. We're not going to do that. But just suffice it to say that they weren't supposed to have the pigs anyway. And the unclean spirit came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told in the city and in the country. People came to see what it was that had happened. And when they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. They were afraid because the man who had been screaming all night, every night, that they hadn't been able to control now was normal. Fear is a weird thing, isn't it? Those who had described it to them told them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting in the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demon begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but he said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell how much the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis, 10-city area, how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Truth number one is that fear feelings are legitimate. Feelings of fear are real. That's why you can't tell somebody stop being afraid, because those fears are real. But the fear reasons are not. Now, I'm talking about emotional, relational, spiritual kinds of fears. I'm not talking about the fear of walking out in front of a Mack truck. Okay, that's legitimate. That's why God created it. I'm talking about those other kinds of fear. So fears are real. When I first started looking at this series of messages and Goliath Must Fall, I thought, why snakes? If you watched the DVD last week, you heard him talk about snakes. If you read the book, you heard him talk about snakes, how they used to go out and hunt snakes when they were working at a camp, poisonous snakes. They would pop off their head, and they would bang them the head to death. And then the worst is that they would take the bodies that were left, the headless bodies, and wrap them around their arm. And even though they were dead, they would still slither and wind them. I hate snakes. I've always hated snakes. From the time I was little, I hated snakes. We lived out in the country, and I remember riding my bike one time down the road and almost crashed into the ditch because I ran over a piece of rope that I thought was a snake. It wasn't even a snake. I just thought it was a snake. I was walking the Montour Trail a few weeks back, and as I'm walking along, I'm looking down, and a snake about the size of an earthworm A garter snake. Now, does anybody know anything about snakes? Garter snakes, people tell you, are your friend. They won't hurt you. They'll love you.
I love garter snakes.
And I stopped. I said, you first. And I walked on. I hate snakes. I hate snakes. And people will say to me, why do you hate snakes? I don't know. I can't tell you. I have no idea. The only recollection that I have for the first about snakes is that I was scared to death of them. And they'll say, oh, no, no, no. You don't need to be afraid of this little snake. It's a garter snake or it's a black snake. There's nothing wrong with it. Here, pet it. And no, they got it wrapped around their leg. You just pet it. It won't hurt you. It'll take... No. It may not be able to hurt me by biting me, but it can give me a heart attack or a stroke. I'm still dead. I don't care. I don't like snakes. And they'll say, there's no need to be afraid. I know there's no need to be afraid. That doesn't help. Right? Fear feelings are legitimate. They're legitimate. And so if you're facing not having enough money, the feeling that you're going to lose your house, the feeling that you're not going to have, those are legitimate feelings. But in our culture, we legitimize them as the feelings are the issue. But it's not. It's the reason behind the feeling that we need to deal with. Now, those of you that are laughing at me because I don't like snakes. Okay, I'll bring a spider in. See, those of you that make fun of me, I've watched some of you destroy a room trying to get away from a spider that you can't even see. Right? It goes, you know, there's just not a lot of reason for it. So feelings are legit, but they're not justifiable. The reasons aren't true. So in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is saying, don't worry for your life. Don't worry for food. Don't worry for clothing. Don't worry, you know, the shelter. Because your Father will care for you. The feelings are true, but the reason isn't real. God will be there to care for you. So we go back to Mark chapter 5. The people were afraid, legitimately afraid. In the first five verses, they're afraid. Why? Because this man was out of control. He was possessed by these demons that had given him supernatural strength. And they couldn't control him. They couldn't do anything with him. They just had to live with him. And then when Jesus shows up and he comes, the man and the demons are legitimately afraid because they're facing Jesus. But look at what happens after Jesus heals the man. Verse 14. So Jesus heals the man, sends, you know, all of the pigs running. The herdsmen run back to town at verse 14. They fled and told it in the city, in the country, and people came to see what was happening. They were afraid. Ironically, they were afraid because Jesus had showed up. The very thing that should have taken fear away was what caused it. So the feelings were legitimate, but the reason was upside down. Verse 15, it says, and they came to Jesus, and they saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were afraid. Well, one of the reasons they were afraid is because they believed that the pagan gods controlled pigs, and that the destruction of these pigs was going to bring the wrath of these pagan gods on them. But they were also afraid because something had changed. They couldn't control this man, and now he's sitting there in his right mind. Sometimes the things that we are afraid of are the very things that God is in the middle of. The feelings are legitimate, but the reasons are not. Because the man was sitting there in his right mind. And then in verse 19, Jesus left the man beg, I want to go with you. And I can imagine all the townspeople along the side going, yes, go. And Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Now, so he tells them, no, I want you to stay home. In that moment, this man may have had some fears. This was the very area where the demons had possessed him. That's legitimate. I mean, these are the people who were mad because he was healed. These are also the people that had tried to shackle him and imprison him. There were all kinds of outside reasons for this man to be afraid. And it appears that Jesus is just leaving him to that place. But something had happened in the man. What nothing and nobody else could ever do, Jesus did, gave him his life back. And at that point, he said, I don't have anything to be afraid of because of Jesus. Feelings are legitimate, but the reasons behind it are not. Look at me. You have nothing ever to fear if you're with Jesus. Pain might be there, sure. Loss might be there, absolutely. But you don't ever have anything to fear if you're with Jesus. But you cannot get rid of the fear, the giant fear, by yourself. You can't do it. There's not enough willpower. There's not enough, I'm going to just pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm going to conquer this thing. You can't do it. The only way to do it is to surrender, to let Jesus. We have nothing to fear, nothing to fear. So why do we? Because we believe the lies of the enemy. And that's why we have to turn it right side up. We have to turn life right side up. Because the enemy uses the things that in an upside down world look legitimate. But we have nothing to fear. I've noticed there are a lot of songs. There are a lot of songs about fear in the Christian faith, a lot of Christian songs. I want to play one of them for you. And as she's getting that ready, I want to give you an acronym that long time ran across. Fear is this, fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Fear comes from the lies of the enemy. This is a song that you're probably familiar with. How many times do you have to cast your fear in the fire? Sometimes every hour, every minute. It doesn't mean that it happens one time. In the study, in the book, and on the DVD, Louis Giglio illustrates by saying those snakes that they would kill were still deadly. Even though the head was gone, the venom was still there. And so if you stepped on the fangs, it could release enough poison for you to be harmed. It was still dead, but it was still deadly. So it's not easy, and depending on the fear, it's this constant surrender. It's not just one time. Number two, the second truth is that every fear fears and falls to Jesus. Every fear fears and falls to Jesus. So when Jesus got off the boat and the man that was filled with the demonic spirits came running to him, the demonic spirits were afraid of Jesus. They were scared to death. What have you come to do with us? You know, he could have destroyed them. And so that's why they asked, just let us go into the pigs. Because they know that Jesus is king. They know that Jesus is more power. There is no fear that can stand in front of Jesus when it is given to him, when it is surrendered to him. Every fear, no matter what it is, no matter what the fear is, no matter what you ever face, it cannot stand up to Jesus. Because fear has to surrender, has to submit. Well, I think one of the attitudes that we need to begin to develop, I don't know that the disciples ever got to it, was after we spend enough time with Jesus and see what Jesus does, in our lives when there's a need or when there's a fear, when there's a circumstance or when there's an emergency, and we see him, he takes care of that, and he takes care of that, takes care of that, takes care of that, takes care of that, takes care of that. And at some point, we need to get to the place when we face those things, we need to, instead of going, oh man, why do I have to face this again? We need to say, this is going to be good. Because Jesus is going to do something. He wouldn't have us in that situation if he wasn't about to do something. And the bigger the giant, I think this was David, the bigger the giant, he goes, this is going to be even better than the lion and the bear because it's a bigger giant. This is going to be good because every fear fears Jesus and has to fall to him. This is going to be good. We can't put up with it. We have to acknowledge the fear. So recognize that the giant is there. Recognize the fear is there. And understand that Jesus is more powerful. Jesus is bigger. We don't compromise with it. We give it to Jesus. Number three, surrender to Jesus is power and victory. Surrender to Jesus is power and victory. I've been already talking about this. It's not about trying harder. It's about surrender. Surrender to Jesus. God uses the giants to reveal that we have the fear. God uses circumstances to show us that we're not powerful enough, that we can't handle it, so that we will take it to Jesus. God uses the giants to show us our inadequacy so that we'll take it to Jesus. God uses those challenges in our lives to bring himself glory. And with that in mind, giants are a gift because it's an opportunity for us to surrender and for Jesus to show his great love for us in taking care of things. So when we face a giant, it isn't a problem. It's an opportunity. But it requires surrender. And so I put a statement in there. Jesus puts us into situations to reveal that he, Jesus, is bigger and then invites us to trust, surrender, and let him work. That's the only way. It's not about trying harder. It's about surrender. Isaiah chapter 41, 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not, he says. Stop being afraid. That's not the point, though. It's not about fear not. I put a blank for you to fill in. It's all about, for I am with you. It's not about fear not. It's all about, for I am with you. I kind of like it when something happens and my grandkids get afraid. Not because I'm a sadist or a masochist and like to see them suffer or anything, but you know what happens that doesn't happen so much other times? Is they run and they grab you tight. Brody, give me a hug. All right. There's a big dog out there. Right? How much more is that true of God? Is it possible that sometimes he has to put those big dogs in our lives or those scary situations because he wants us to turn to us and cling to him because he knows that's the safe place and that's what brings us joy. Now, does Brody enjoy it when he's hugging me? Yeah, but he's too busy most of the time. Running around and playing. God puts us in situations because he knows we need that emotional filling that comes when we turn to him. Surrender. Surrender. It's not about fear not. It's about for I'm with you. Matthew 14, 27, immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart. In the storm as he's walking along, take heart. Don't be afraid. It is I. It's not about don't be afraid. It's about it is I. Number four, you can and must live free of fear's control. You can and must live free of fear's control because if you are under anything's control other than God, you're not experiencing him. One of the statements that Louis Giglio makes is that he says, and he quotes it from a friend. He said, fear is faith in the enemy. Fear is believing the enemy is bigger than God. And so We have to surrender. We have to get free from our fears. This relationship with God, this intimate relationship with God, that walking step by step, surrendering moment by moment, is where the freedom comes from. But we have to. We can't ever settle. We can't ever settle and just say, this is the way it's going to be. I'm just going to have to live with this fear. I'm going to have to live with this problem. Like I can't. No, that's saying that is bigger than Jesus. Now, you may have to surrender it the rest of your life over and over and over again. But you have to let it go. You have to let Jesus. So the solution is that God is bigger, to see God is bigger, to allow him to take you through circumstances, to recognize that he's bigger than that, he's bigger than that, he's bigger than that, bigger than that, bigger, bigger, bigger. And so he's bigger than anything. And so he builds that up. It's to turn to him, allow him in intimate, obedient, surrendered relationship, not allowing him to be bigger. It's not about trying harder. It's about surrendering and following harder. So these are some truths that if you follow these truths, you can live in victory. You can live in freedom of fear. When Jesus died, he came to conquer three things. Anybody know what they are? Death, sin, and what's the last one? Fear. And so if he did that, he through forgiveness, sin is conquered. Through going to heaven, death is conquered. And so the one that we have to deal with as we go through this life is the fear. Satan will fight you. Jesus is bigger. Don't ever settle. Don't ever settle. Another song. And I want you to use this one as kind of a closing meditative time with God. Listen to the words. The song is No Longer a Slave to Fear. And I want you to just lean into God as this song plays and make this commitment. Lord, I will do whatever it takes. I'm going to surrender however I need to. I'm going to follow you however I need to. I'm going to let you have it, whatever it is. I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to live with it. I'm going to let you have it so that you will no longer be a slave to fear. So listen to the words. Spend this time just in kind of quiet meditation as we close. Time of commitment. Would reach to us in love. To do whatever it takes to reach into our lives, to pull us into this right side up kingdom of freedom and victory and intimacy with you. Lord, you could have required us to just be slaves to you. Now I pray that you would do whatever it takes to pull us to yourself, like the loving heavenly dad that you are, God. This week, teach us what it means to surrender our fears as we go through the study, bring it back to our minds and our hearts. We put ourselves in your hands, God. Do whatever it takes to let us experience the life that you want us to have. In Jesus' name we pray.